Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration. That's the choir of Paisley Abbey with stanza 3 of the hymn, All Praise to Thee, My God, This Night. Teach me to live that I may dread. The grave is little as my bed. Teach me to die that so I may rise glorious at the awful day. Why do we fear death? Well, we fear it for a lot of reasons. We fear the dying part, the pain, the suffering. We fear the pain and the suffering that that death will leave to our loved ones. We fear perhaps maybe what comes after death. There are all different reasons why we fear death. Some of us, when we're young, don't fear death, but probably should a little bit more. And what is the relationship between the fear of death and the fear of God? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball joins us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Hamel, Illinois, 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and author of a column for the September edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fear of Death. Ben, welcome back.
Great to be back on the show.
How do you respond to someone who says, if you are a true Christian, then you will have no fear of death?
To a certain extent, that's true. Christians are not to be afraid of death. Now, of course, I'm going to hedge my bet here a little bit, I suppose, by saying a true Christian. Because Christians still have this old flesh that is hanging on to us, and the devil is constantly assaulting us and trying to put into our minds ungodly fears. But for the Christian, there is the ultimate confidence and security in the promises of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and so there is no fear of death. It goes away. He lives. Christ lives. And so, for the Christian, because Christ lives, there is the promise with our baptism into him that we shall live also, that death has been defeated, that it has no power over us. And so the Christian is not afraid. But again, I suppose it's always this, we are still living in this world, and so we have these fears, and we have this constant assaults of the devil, the world, and our flesh, which are going to try and make us afraid. So I guess it's always, how do we properly apply law and gospel to someone who says, I'm afraid, or I'm worried about death, or I don't know what's going to happen to me, something like that.
So there are different kinds of fear of death. There would be someone who says, I'm afraid for my eternal disposition.
Mm-hmm.
There's someone who says, I'm just afraid of the dying part, or I'm afraid now for what will follow for my family. There's all facets to this kind of thing. You're saying a pastoral approach to those fears, those real fears that Christians often entertain against faith, has to depend on what do you mean by I'm afraid of death?
That's exactly right. So if we kind of start with the I'm afraid because of my eternal disposition. Well, the answer to that, of course, is the promises of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. So the reason why we're afraid is because death is the just consequence and right judgment against our sinfulness. So going back to paradise, even before the fall, God told the man that he was going to die if he ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, ate that fruit. And the temptation which came from the serpent to the woman was, you're not going to die if you eat it. Well, they both ate it and they both died. And as St. Paul says, the wages of sin is death. So we're afraid of dying because a Christian can recognize their own sinfulness and what they've done, both against God and against their neighbor, deserves that judgment. And they could be afraid of the eternal pain of hell and the suffering which they should receive. The only answer to that is Jesus Christ, who was risen from the dead, having paid for the sins of that particular person, and death has no power over them because of what Christ has done. And believing in that takes away those fears. Well, then you have the fact that some people are afraid of the pain of dying. This is the thing about fear, basically of any kind. The only kind of fear we should have truly is the fear of God, which of course, as the Bible says, is the beginning of wisdom. Any other kind of fear is misplaced. I should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Now, this does not take away the reality of maybe the physical pain of dying. Nobody wants to suffer. Hurt, sickness, trauma, those things remain in this fallen world. And our Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself and he endured them also. What the gospel does and the promises we have is takes away our fear of those things. It doesn't take away those things. It takes away our fear of them and turns it over to complete trust in the promises of Jesus. And then like the last one he mentioned is what's going to happen to my family? Well, that's a fear that can rightly be diagnosed as idolatry. Because God is God, you're not. He promises to provide them daily bread and all the things that they need, even if your life should end. You're not in control of how they're going to be. I mean, there's certain things, obviously, we can do in this life to try to provide for our family. We should work. We should save. We should plan. But in the end, we're not God. He is. And so we have to put our trust and confidence in his provision for those that we might leave behind should we die. So, well, I've been talking for a while.
So that's why you say, and you've just said here, that the fear of death is a misplaced fear because the only fear that we are called upon by Scripture to exercise, to indulge, to nurture, is the fear which is faith.
That's right.
In God.
Yes. Only the fear of God. And so if I'm afraid of dying, I need to examine myself and say, why am I afraid of dying? Am I afraid of dying because I have sinned against God and I know this? Well, the only answer to that kind of fear is Christ's forgiveness. Am I afraid of dying because I think I'm in control of my life? Am I afraid of dying because all these other reasons? But the faith which is in Christ that he gives and the way we're to live as Christians in this fallen world is in complete and utter confidence in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And the promise is that that resurrection from the dead, that Christ himself, as he overcame death, belongs to me. That's the promise of my baptism. It's the promise that gives hope in this fallen world. And it's ultimately is what the only thing that I can hold on to as I face death is that Jesus Christ lives. And I'm in him, and I'm a child of God.
Does that mean that we should regard death as a friend rather than a foe?
Well, this is the thing. The Bible kind of talks about it in a couple different ways. So death is our enemy. It stings, and it's painful. Yet at the very same time, St. Paul will say, as he does in the letter of the Philippians, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And like a lot of things in the Bible, what Jesus did by his death, destroying its power, and then by his resurrection for our justification, he makes death to be something, well, let's say he uses it for his own purposes. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, we have to follow him. Jesus calls, he called his disciples to follow him. And we are his disciples now. We've been baptized into him. We've been made disciples. And so we follow him through death. We follow him through his own, and we follow him through our own too. And death becomes an opportunity for us to confess who Jesus is, and it becomes the gate to eternal life. Jesus says we get planted as a seed in the ground. And unless a seed falls into the ground, it dies and remains alone. But if it dies, it springs up and builds up this great harvest. Now, he did that. He was planted in the ground. He came up, and he has brought forth for us the fruit of his resurrection. When we die, it is the means by which God brings us into the glory of heaven, to be sure, which is why St. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. He knows that his death will be a gain for him. He is going to see his Savior in the glory of heaven. He is completely confident in that. And so that's why he's not afraid of dying either. He's following his master. He knows he's going to be poured out like a drink offering, and so will we. God uses this thing which was a curse and is our enemy, but he uses it for our own good. He does this all the time when we have to mortify our sinful nature. Bad things happen for our good. Like St. Paul says, all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Even our dying is worked out for our good. Because by it, we are translated into the presence of God with all the saints and the holy angels. And that's pretty good.
We're talking about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. He's 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He's author of a column for the September edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fear of Death. So, death is a foe. It's a defeated foe. It will ultimately be defeated in the resurrection. What does God do with it in the meantime? Stay tuned.
But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Ars Moriendi, the art of dying well. If death is the punishment for sin, then how does one die well? Well, that's the question we ask and answer in the September issue of the Lutheran Witness. We ask and answer the most common questions, fears, and doubts faced by Lutherans and Christians as they approach death. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Lord, help us ever to retain the Catechism's doctrine plain.
What makes a church unique? Perhaps we should ask what makes a church faithful. Calvary Lutheran Church of Elgin, Illinois, continually learns Christ's doctrine, simply explained in the Small Catechism. This doctrine teaches us Christ crucified, who even today comes and serves his baptized children in word and sacrament to forgive, strengthen, and teach us for daily life. This, Christ's own work among us, makes and keeps Calvary Lutheran Church faithful. Visit us at clce.org.
Have you ever wondered if your investments could do more? I mean, a whole lot more? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. When you invest with us, you not only earn a competitive interest rate, but your investment goes to strengthen Lutheran Church Missouri Synod church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations through low-cost loans and services. To learn more, visit lcef.org/invest101.
Still proclaiming the Word of God during a global pandemic, you are listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland; First Bethlehem Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois; Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa; Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California; Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin; Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawnee, Wisconsin; St. Paul Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska; Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska; and Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball, 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. So to summarize where we are so far, Ben, death most certainly is a foe. It's a defeated foe, a foe that will be ultimately destroyed in the resurrection of all flesh. But in the meantime, God turns essentially the worst that sin can do to us in this life for our good.
That's right. And this, of course, is what happened at the cross of Jesus. The most unjust, evil, and wicked thing that ever happened in the entire history of this world and ever will happen is the crucifixion of the Son of God. Yet, it is the most glorious, perfect, and holy thing that ever happened in the history of the world. That all of God's mind and desire to love his people before he even created this world was focused on this injustice of the sacrifice of his Son. This is how the glory of God is revealed in the death of the Son of God. And so he uses death to destroy death. He uses suffering to end suffering. He uses injustice to have us be declared just, not guilty, through faith in that death of his Son, the man Jesus.
How does the Bible speak about death? You got into it a little bit a moment ago, but what does the Bible say about death, teach us about death?
Yeah, well, a lot of different things, right? So St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And that is the just consequence upon sinners. It was the curse that was placed on the ground in Genesis chapter 3. Adam was told that he would surely die if he ate of the fruit. He ate of it, and then God said, man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And Adam went back to the dust. And so the Bible speaks of death as being judgment, curse. It speaks of it as being the enemy. And it also speaks of it as being defeated by the victory of Jesus. And so, you know, we could spend a lot of time on, for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where St. Paul speaks at length about the resurrection of the body. And he will quote the Old Testament and say, where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it stings, it hurts, it's painful. Death is the end of this mortal life. For a time, until the resurrection of our bodies, when this mortal flesh will be changed to be immortal, and this lowly flesh will be changed to be glorious. So, and that's just kind of a little cursory thing of what the Bible says about dying and death.
We face death at kind of different distances in our life. When we're young, we may fear death, not understanding death. I got grandchildren, and whenever we pass by a bird that's dead on, there are lots of questions about death, and there's a kind of a fear there, but it's such a distant thing and probably should be for them. You go through your immortal phase where you foolishly don't fear death or God.
Mm-hmm.
You enter that stage of life where you're starting to try and stave it off, prevent it, postpone it. And then finally, you enter that stage of life where you know it's coming. Your time is short. Talk about that last stage, the kind of wisdom that it can bring to a person to know, yes, finally, I admit it. I am mortal on account of my sins. It's coming for me. It will get me, but it won't be able to hold me.
Yeah, I think you see, that's kind of the sweet spot where we all should be throughout our lives, where, now, sometimes for older people, of course, they're sitting around wondering why I'm still alive anyway, right? And so there's that kind of, I would like to die. I would like to go to heaven. I would like to be raised up again in the last day. So, Lord, why are you keeping me around here? So they've got like to live as Christ, to die as gain on steroids. They like, I want to go. But that really is the kind of the sweet spot where we should be. I am going through life in complete confidence that whatever happens to me, my Father in heaven loves me. He will not abandon me to the grave. So kind of going to the front end for little children, of course, it's lousy in coronavirus times, but parents should bring the little children to funerals. They should go to Christian funerals at their church and see that and hear that death's power has been destroyed. Little kids should see dead people in their caskets. And they should see that this person was loved by God. He's redeemed them by the blood of his son. They're going to be raised up again. Their spirit is in heaven, but it will be joined again in the last day. And this person is a Christian. And so are you. And so you don't have to be afraid of this box. You don't have to be afraid of going in the ground. Because Jesus, he was placed in the tomb, and he got out of there. And so this one, if it's your grandma or somebody, a friend of our congregation, they're going to get out of there too. And so whenever the time is when God closes your eyes in death, he's going to get you out of the grave too. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about it at all.
Many Christians have a truncated view, and maybe it's because of the way we preach about things. We tend to assume the resurrection. And we talk a lot about eternal life in terms of dying and going to heaven. What are we missing when we don't talk explicitly about your resurrection, my resurrection?
Yeah. I mean, that's the end of our faith. The culmination of all that God has to give is the resurrection of our bodies. So it's important for us to know and confess, like St. Paul, again, in the letter to the Philippians, says, when we die, we go to heaven. That's really important. That what happens to our souls at the time of death for the Christian is bliss and joy and happiness. But God created these mortal bodies to live forever. And what we got to be thinking about too, and so importantly, is the glorification of our flesh. That at the last day, I mean, we say it in the creed all the time. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come. So we got to hold on to the fact that even though we might have this last breath, like Jesus did when he said it was finished and he breathed his last, it wasn't his last. And when we expel that last breath, it's not going to be the last breath. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. They're going to be placed in the ground. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again, and that wind of the Holy Spirit is kind of like the vision of Ezekiel, all the dry bones, is going to blow out over all the cemeteries, and all those who have died in Christ are going to be raised up. Their bodies are going to be made perfect and whole, and we're going to be living as the children of God forever. Heaven is this transitory place. It's a transition. It's there. It's great. It's awesome. We should be looking forward to being there. Even more so, the resurrection of our bodies. When body and soul together, we will be with the Son of God, see him on his throne, be at his right hand, the sheep of his fold, and live in glory. And it's this preaching that takes away all these fears, you know, that we can really be at peace.
We're talking about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball is our guest, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, and author of a column for the September edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fear of Death. When we come back, I don't fear my own death as much as I fear the death of my loved ones. How should we respond?
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Issues Etc. book of the month for September will help you speak God's word with boldness and love. It's titled Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day. This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or find out more about Speaking Boldly at issuesetc.org. Speaking Boldly, Sharing God's Word Every Day by Dr. Ed Grimmenstein. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Hey Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the fear of death. Pastor Ben Ball is our guest. He's author of a column for the September edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fear of Death. Ben, I'm sure that this has been the case for you, but someone says, look, I don't fear my death as much as I fear the death of my spouse or my children or my grandchildren. What do you say to them?
Well, this is a really good exercise for pastors to think about. How do you actually identify what's going on when someone says that? And I think for me, if I can examine myself, it's the fact that I create idols out of them. I love my wife and I love my kids, and I can't imagine living without them. But I need to see them as gifts from God, not gods that I can't live without. And it's a hard thing to do, but that's what's going on, I think. The only one I can't live without is God himself. Now, he places me in a family. He places me in the church. We are to live in union with our families, our moms and dads, our brothers, sisters, our husbands, wives, kids, in our congregations, with our family and friends. These are all good gifts from God. And he wants us to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. But we have to see them all as daily bread gifts from God, not gods. And Job is very instructive in this. When he confesses, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, the name of the Lord be praised, he's got the right mentality. As painful as the things he had to endure, and the losses that we ourselves have to endure in this world. Death hurts, whether it's our own or someone we love. It's painful. It's separation. It strikes at our hearts, and it seems like they're breaking. And sometimes they are. But why are they breaking? Well, it's because we've, again, misplaced. We think that if God takes them away, then he doesn't love. That's not true. Or if they're taken away, you know, I can't live. And that's not true either. But, you know, there's a lot going on there. Who wants to lose their child? Nobody. Who wants to lose their spouse? Nobody. But we might. And if we have, and of course many of our listeners have experienced this, well, what is the only thing that can pull you through? The promises that God gave to them, to Christian mom or dad, Christian child, the hope that belongs to you, that they are in Christ, that they're not lost, that death is not victorious over them. And they'll be raised up on the last day too.
So finally, how does the divine service, this weekly hearing of God's word, confessing sins, receiving forgiveness, receiving Christ's body and blood, fathers call this the medicine of immortality. How does that prepare us to face the fear of death and death itself?
Well, the constant listening to the gospel promises create and sustain a living and lively faith. So when pastors preach the good news of Jesus Christ, which is centered on his death and resurrection, it's this constant hearing of these promises that actually will carry people through and give them victory over death itself. So just the preaching of the gospel itself, which you hear the living voice of Jesus, who is not separate from his people. There's that, which is everything, of course. But then when we pray after receiving the very body and blood of Jesus, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, the Nunc Dimittis, which is, of course, Simeon's song. It's, my sins are forgiven. I am united with Jesus Christ. I've received his very body and blood. I'm a baptized child of the Father. I heard the invocation. When I came in the divine service, I'm reminded again that I am a baptized child of a loving Father. I can leave the house of God with no fears whatsoever. I can leave this house in peace. I can leave this life in peace because Jesus Christ has claimed me as his own. And he is the resurrection and the life. And what he has will be given to me. And already is, and I'm holding on to it. So you can't miss church. And this, of course, is one of the most difficult things of coronavirus times, is missing church. But we've got to be together as the people of God. Because not only is there all those promises that come through the means of grace, but there also is the joyous fellowship that we share with other people, that I'm strengthened by their confession, their testimony. You're not in it alone. You never are. And none of us will face death alone. We will face death with our Savior, and we'll face death with each other as the people of God.
Pastor Ben Ball is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He's 6th Vice President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and author of a column for the September edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Fear of Death. Ben, thank you.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks.
You can read Pastor Ball's column in the Lutheran Witness magazine. Learn more at cph.org/witness or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The theme of the September issue is Death and Dying, Interpreting the Contemporary World from a Lutheran Perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine. We're going to be talking with Carol Tobias about three issues when we come back. She's president of National Right to Life. We'll talk about President Trump's announcement yesterday of future Supreme Court candidates. We'll talk about a chemical abortion regulation case that's before the Supreme Court. And we'll talk about a feature that The Hill did on the new president of Planned Parenthood. Stay tuned. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic St. Paul Lutheran Church in the heart of Austin, Texas is glad to support the work of Issues Etc. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, pastor of St. Paul, and I'm glad we're part of this effort. Issues Etc. for decades has been the premier voice of Lutheran doctrine and biblical teaching in all of the world, and we're glad to be a little part of making sure that the work continues. If you're ever in Austin, stop by and visit us. All the information is on the website, stpaulaustin.org. That's stpaulaustin.org.
I'm afraid of death. Do I have enough faith to die? Will it be painful to die? What about deathbed conversions? Does God really forgive me if I've lived my whole life not as a Christian? These and many other questions are answered in the September issue of The Lutheran Witness, The Ars Moriendi, The Art of Dying Well. To subscribe, visit cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, cph.org/witness.